Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation here this afternoon. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone line's open. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to have you join us. And let's go ahead and open our program here this afternoon with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you bless the program. Help us to be a blessing, a help, and an encouragement to people. Help us to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about. Help us to give people insight and hope in regards to the things that are happening in the world around us out of your word. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to be with you today. And I will apologize in advance if I cough a few times. I'm getting over whatever this kind of stuff is that's been going around. It started out, I think, with a head cold sunk into the chest, had a lot of congestion. And if you heard the program Sunday night, you know that I had quite a bit of trouble sometimes there during the program trying to keep my voice and not cough too much. But I'm just glad that I'm on the healing side of this. And you know, I was telling somebody, I don't know if it was on the radio Sunday night or at church last Sunday, I said, this perfect example of the fact that the world is under a curse. That's where sin and sickness comes from. Excuse me. All right, well, good to be with you today. And again, I'm Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly extend an invitation for you to visit us out there, and also an invitation if you don't have anything to do on Friday nights. We have our Friday night Bible study, and that is an informal Bible study where we have people come in, bring questions, and we spend time talking about your questions out of the Word of God, kind of like some of the similar things we do with our radio programs. And so I encourage you, information about that, they'll be coming up at the end of the program, but that's at 7 o'clock tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, where we meet there at 5171 Brecksville Road. And you can find out more information about us and all these things if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can link there to our church website. You can also go to our Facebook page from there, or you can just find us directly on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. And I encourage you to check those things out. Past programs and things like that are there as well. Well, I wanted to jump into a couple of things here. And also, I wanted to make one mention of one thing. We had a great time last Sunday. We celebrated Pi Day because last Monday was International Pi Day. If you're familiar with pi, the ratio that's used in the famous equation pi r squared, you know, and very useful in finding out various things about circumference of circles and things like that. But last Monday was March the 15th, 3.15. So we celebrated early on Sunday. We had a great time of fellowship after the service, had some visitors, had a great time. And that's the second time that we've celebrated Pi Day. And we had a good time. It's a good excuse to eat pie. You never have too many good excuses to eat pie. So we had a great time with that. But this coming Sunday, we're going to be celebrating Palm Sunday. And our morning service, we'll have our we'll be observing the Lord's Supper following the morning service or at the conclusion of the morning service. And then the following week will be Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll be talking about some of those things in our Sunday program here this coming Sunday. And the next week on Friday, we'll be looking at the date of the crucifixion, probably because most people will look at a week from today as they call it Good Friday. And of course, if you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you realize that we've talked about this, about how you cannot get 3 days and 3 nights between Friday afternoon and Sunday morning. You can get 3 days, but you can't get 3 nights. You just can't do it. And so we'll be talking about that this coming Friday. And then, of course, the following Sunday, Easter, we'll be talking about the resurrection of Christ, I'm sure. And also your questions. If you've got questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got a caller coming in. And let's see, I believe we've got Jeremiah waiting for us here. And Jeremiah, welcome to the program today.
Yeah, good afternoon, Pastor.
Good afternoon.
It's a beautiful day that God created. Huh?
Oh, yeah. It turned out sun come out today, and actually I think it's warmer than what they were expecting. But,
We got spring coming up this Sunday.
Sunday is the first day of spring, but I had daffodils at my house blooming on Tuesday. One was blooming, and then Wednesday there was about three more blooming. And then yesterday I was driving through the Cuyahoga Valley, and coming up out of the Cuyahoga Valley in Brecksville on one of the back roads, I saw some coltsfoot, which is a little yellow flower. It looks, when you're driving by, somewhat like a dandelion, but it was blooming there, and that's one of the earliest I think I've seen them. But it's a great time of year, and a great time of year when we think about the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah, this past Tuesday I went to vote for election.
Yes.
To vote for election, and unfortunately my person I voted for didn't win.
Well,
I got another chance this November, though.
Yeah, well, at least you went out and you made your voice heard. You exercised your right and made your voice heard, and I appreciate that.
You can't be the hearer, you got to be the doer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, salt's no good unless it gets out of the shaker, as they say. So,
or you put it in your food.
Yeah, it's got to get out of the shaker. So,
my question for this afternoon is: with Palm Sunday being this Sunday, then Easter afterwards, do you think we are closer to the rapture?
Oh, absolutely, and one can say it this way: every day we're one day closer to the rapture. Because we know the Lord is coming back, and so every day is one day closer. We'll be talking about Palm Sunday probably a little bit more on our Sunday program and some of the events leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection, which I'm sure we'll be talking about on the following Sunday. Now, did you have a further question in regards to that? Because I was going to say, if you'd like, I could share something that I think indicates we might be closer to the rapture that just took place this past week.
Sure.
Excuse me there, I had a little cough again. But in Ezekiel chapter 38, and we have talked about this before on our programs, about the prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 38, where God talks about, let's see, I'll just read it here, Ezekiel 38, starting in verse number 2, where it said, well, I'll start verse 1. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief priest, prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all them clothed with all sorts of armor, even great company with bucklers and shields, and all them handling swords." And it goes on to list Persia and Ethiopia and different ones. And all of this is bringing them into the Middle East, and specifically into Israel. And I've said before on the program that I believe that Gog represents Russia here, and Gog being the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And Meshech and Tubal, you can certainly find Moscow derived from Meshech, and Tubolsk the Central Asian Republic of Georgia and all that. But we have Russia being the chief of this area there, and you look at what Putin is doing in Russia. He's trying to rebuild the Russian Empire, and he's trying to influence, you know, and control these Central Asian republics. And I said that in Ezekiel 38 and verse 4, where it says, "I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws and I bring thee forth," gives the implication that Russia has been active in the Middle East, leaves the Middle East, and then God turns him back. You see how it says that there, Jeremiah?
Uh-huh.
With that part where he says, I'll put hooks into thy jaws and bring thee back, or I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws and bring thee forth.
It means he'll turn them back.
Yeah, which means that they were there. To me, it implies they were there before. Now, I believe it was September, Russia went into Syria in a big way. I mean, they moved a lot of troops in. And I remember back then, in last fall, people were saying, well, could this be the buildup to Ezekiel 38 with Russia coming in, trying to take charge in the Middle East and trying to establish its presence there before in Ezekiel 38, where they go in and then try to go against Israel? And at the time, I said, no, I think Russia's going to leave. Well, last Monday, to the surprise of virtually everybody, including the United States, Europe, even the Syrian government, Russia announced that they were going to pull out of the Middle East. They said they were just going to pull out, and they were going to pull all their troops and such out of Syria and back up into their homeland. And on Monday, they started doing it, because some people said, well, yeah, they said they were going to do it, but are they really going to do it? Well, they did. Monday, they started pulling their troops out. And I mean, they said it on, or on Tuesday. They said it on Monday. On Tuesday, they actually started doing it. Now, they're leaving a token force in two locations. They have a port on the Mediterranean that they built up. And that's so that they can come back in quickly. And they also have an air base that they built. And that's where they were flying most of their missions out of, where they were attacking the rebel groups that were trying to take down the Syrian government. They weren't just attacking the Islamic State. They were attacking all the rebel groups there. And I found it very interesting that, to everybody's surprise, after Russia moved into Syria in a big way to support the Assad regime in Syria, all of a sudden, they just pulled out rapidly and made the decision unannounced, surprised everybody, and then started acting on it the next day. And they're leaving a small force behind to maintain that air base and that naval base. And I immediately thought of how Ezekiel 38 said that Russia would be turned back. And you can see now how in Isaiah 17, the Bible talks about Damascus and Syria being destroyed suddenly. And in fact, it says Damascus is taken away from being a city and becomes a ruinous heap at the beginning of chapter 17. And at the end of chapter 17, it suggests that it happens overnight, in one night. And we've talked before about a battle based on a confederation of nations outlined in Psalm 83. Which would represent Syria and Lebanon and Egypt, and I believe the Islamic State could be included in that, Jordan and those areas, and how those nations will all be destroyed. Those areas will be rendered virtually uninhabitable, and those are the nations that are not mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38 as joining with Russia and invading Israel. And so, like I said, you're asking about the rapture being closer. I think that that's an event that puts us in line where, if this destruction of Damascus and Syria takes place from Isaiah 17, you could see Russia using that as an excuse to come back. And you could see that being a way that God turns them back into the Middle East. So, that just happened this week, and another one that just occurred this past week is that for the first time in, I think it's over 1,500 years or more, the Sanhedrin met in Jerusalem, I believe it was, to authenticate, but they've had a practice in the past where they would have watchers for the new moon, so that the month would start with the officiation of the new moon, or authentication of the new moon, And so they would have watchers, and they would say that they believe the new moon started. The Sanhedrin would then investigate, and they would sound a trumpet to show that the new moon has started. Well, for the last 1,500 years or so, they've been using astronomical calculations, not these watchers. And I was reading an article the other day, said for the first time in over 1,500 years, the Sanhedrin met where a watcher certified the new moon, or they said it was the new moon, and the Sanhedrin authenticated and blew the trumpet. You say, well, okay, what importance does that have with the rapture? Well, there's seven Levitical feasts, and the first four of them are spring feasts that were fulfilled with Jesus' first coming. And then there, that leaves three autumn feasts, which many people, myself included, believe that Jesus will fulfill with the second coming, Rosh Hashanah being the first one of those. That occurs in October, early October of this year. And that, I believe, will be fulfilled or symbolically or prophetically, I guess you could say, with the rapture of the church during that time. And then, of course, there's the Day of Atonement, which would be the next one. People believe that prophetic fulfillment for that occurs during the tribulation period. And then, of course, the Feast of Tabernacles, which would be fulfilled with prophetically fulfilled with the millennial reign of Christ when God is dwelling with us. So if you look at that, the importance of the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, there's a series of trumpet sounds, and it is the feast that is started when the new moon is sighted or authenticated by the Sanhedrin, and there's a series of trumpet blasts. And on the last trumpet, it's authenticated that Rosh Hashanah has started and that the new moon is official. And it's interesting because, see, there's watchers who know the season, but they don't know the exact day and hour. It's one of a couple of days there. And this year, like I said, it would be early October. And they'll be watching. They don't know exactly which day and which hour the new moon will be authenticated by the Sanhedrin. And these trumpet blasts on the last trumpet, it's authenticated, and the Feast of Rosh Hashanah can begin. And I find that very interesting because what does the Bible tell us about the rapture? It says that you'll know the season, but you won't know the day nor the hour. And the Bible says that you're to be watching and waiting. And when you hear the trumpet, well, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which remain shall be caught up to meet with him in the air, or be with him in the air. And so, to me, that's highly suggestive of Rosh Hashanah. And that idea that the watchers have to be watching and waiting, which echoes what we're supposed to do with the rapture. And then seeing that this past week, for the first time in 1,500 years or more, we had some people watching and authenticating the new moon for the start of the month, and the Sanhedrin officiating that. That to me sounds exciting, doesn't it? You think about the coming of the rapture. And go ahead.
Sorry. I know the other night I was walking, and I just happened to watch the moon on the way home, mm-hmm. looking at the sky and seeing the moon and a couple stars in the sky. But, the only thing you can do is just look up and, draw near.
Yeah. So when we think about the rapture, that's the blessed hope that the Bible talks about. And we look at that because I believe it's 2 Thessalonians 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible says we're not appointed under wrath. And a lot of people seem to think that the church is that we're in the tribulation right now, or that we're going to soon be in the tribulation, but when we see all this stuff going on in the world, the tribulation is a period of God's wrath poured out on the world that's rejected him. And the Christians are not the people that rejected Christ. They're the people who have accepted Christ. And so we're caught up so that God can bring this judgment upon the world that has rejected him. And I've heard some people try to say, the first half of the tribulation is not that bad. The wrath comes later. Well, the first half of the tribulation, you have war, and you have famine, and you have disease, and you have pestilence, you have great meteor showers, you have great earthquakes so bad that the people hide in the dens in the rocks of the earth, if you read in Revelation chapter 6, I believe it is. And you also have huge numbers of martyrs as the seals are broken on the seven-sealed book there in the book of Revelation. So, yeah, even the first half of the tribulation is pretty devastating and a huge loss of life in the world at that time.
You have a blessed afternoon. God bless.
Well, thank you, Jeremiah. I appreciate you. And you gave me a chance to talk about something I was thinking about here today, so I appreciate that. And again, let me invite you to visit us at our Friday night Bible study if you don't have any going on this evening or on Friday nights in general. We meet every Friday night, and we'll be talking about it. We'll be going over some of these things tonight in some of the ramifications possibly from the scriptures of this revival of the idea of the Sanhedrin officiating the sighting of the new moon so that they can start their months that way rather than just using astronomical calculations. And also the implications of Russia and what they've done this past week in pulling out of, starting their pullout from Syria. So we live in exciting times. And, you know, when you see the things that are happening in the world around us, a lot of people get fearful, a lot of people get anxious. But I like what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when he said in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others have no hope." Then he goes on to talk about the catching away of the believers, and he concludes that in verse 18 by saying, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And, you know, as we see the world becoming like it was in the days of Noah with the wickedness and evil and all kinds of immorality and degradation all around us, and we see like it was in the days of Lot, as Jesus said it would be before he returns, and we see the increase of the acceptance of homosexuality and the efforts to censor even churches and force them to toe the line in accepting same-sex marriage and all this stuff happening in the world around us, you know, we can look up, as Jesus said, "For our redemption draweth nigh." And that's what we have in the Word of God. We have something that can give us peace, something that can give us comfort. And that's what Paul said here. "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And when I see these things that are happening in the world, and just like our caller asked, "Do you think we're closer to the rapture?" Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Not just the fact that, well, the calendar moves on, so we're one day closer, but because we see things happening that lay the groundwork for these great prophetic things and themes of the war that takes place in the Middle East that involves the nations identified in Psalm 83 that band together saying that they're going to stamp out the name of Israel, that it would no more be in remembrance. You know, words that could have been lifted from the very charter of Hamas and Hezbollah, words that could be lifted from the Islamic State today, words that could be lifted from a number of the enemies of Israel today. When we see things shaping up and getting things ready for the prophesied invasion of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 38, and we see these things happening, and we remember that God said through the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, "God hath not appointed us under wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can take comfort in these words. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, then there is a lot to be fearful about. It's a fearful thing to read about the events that take place during the tribulation. But if you know Christ, you can take comfort in God's Word. Let me encourage you. Join us again next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.